Wanted to quickly just add something, or maybe not add something, but play a little audio to go with the Aaron Glenn story.
Sure.
You covered the Ian Rappaport tweet from this morning. You have him in for a second interview. Also, former Lions executive, current Commanders assistant GM Lance Newmark getting his second interview today. So that seems to be the tandem. Now, Boomer mentioned Glenn and the ties to Bill Parcells, both as a player and as a coach. So I saw this clip floating around, not sure which podcast or show. I think Ryan Clark's on it, maybe Fred Taylor as well. And they asked Glenn to tell the story of Parcells coming to the Jets in 1997 with Glenn already there. And he's hearing trade rumors because Parcells preferred bigger corners, whereas Glenn was only about 5'9", 190 pounds or so. So he kind of illustrates and outlines here the interaction when he went to talk to Parcells.
So I keep hearing all these stories, but he wasn't telling me this. You know, so I know my mentality and who I am, so I'm going to try him. So I'm going to go up there and ask him, man, if you're going to trade me, then trade me. You know, so he told me to shut that door, and I did. He said, have a seat. I said, and he said, listen, everybody got a price on their head, right? My own wife got a price on her head. Hmm. If somebody was to offer me a good deal, then she's going to be gone. So if somebody offered me a good deal for you, you're going to be gone. I had to respect it.
Right.
I said, yes, sir, and walked on. Yeah, that made sense to me.
So, I mean, you get a feel for the guy a little bit.
Yeah.
And I know it doesn't mean anything as far as being a head coach, but I've heard him speak enough now that there definitely seems to be a presence about him.
Would you trade your wife for the right deal, CeeLo?
Of course not.
Full-time job here?
Oh, stop it. Come on. Not in a heartbeat, G.
Oh, okay. All right.
Never. No. Not worth that.
All right, very good. Yeah, so you're saying he's going to be a good head coach because he tells a story?
No.
All right.
I like not just from the press conferences, but just seeing some of the, you know, behind-the-scenes stuff, mic'd-up stuff. Like, forget the defense and the play calling and all that.
His players.
The presence.
You know who would be a great head coach? Nate Bargatze. I think that he would be an awesome head coach.
Nate Bargatze, yes.
He tells an unbelievable story.
Not just being a storyteller. I'm just watching him interact with people.
How about Shane Gillis? He's a pretty good storyteller.
It would be awesome.
Too,
right? He interacts with people very well.
Very well, yes.
I'll say it to you this way. I said it to Al this morning because he was making the same point about Aaron Glenn and this job sucks. And, you know, Boomer, hey, he's a great guy. I like him a lot. I think he's going to be a good coach, so don't come here. How do we ever expect to turn things around if all we're telling everybody out there is, don't come here, this place sucks, it's the worst? Where's the breaking point?
If you're a first-time head coach and you don't have experience and you come here, you could be in the blender. This is exactly what we've been saying. The only person I think who could turn it around is someone like Bill Parcells again. That would be it. So that guy, I want to come here. But if you're a first-time head coach who's never done it before, coming here is a career ruiner.
But if the guy who has been a head coach, and this is a second opportunity, third opportunity, and hey, this is it, this is my shot, why are you coming here then, if it's as bad as you say it is?
Well, yeah, I mean, that is a big problem.
Like, you've got to have
that is a big problem.
Serious cojones. Well,
like, somebody may not want Brian Flores because of the issues that maybe he had in Miami. I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, has he... Just because he didn't get along with Tua and, you know, didn't coddle him, as, you know, as Gio would like to say, you know, he needs a coddle coach. And he's got a coddle coach. Just like Sam Darnold needed a coddle coach, he's got a coddle coach. That's not what the Jets don't need, a coddle coach.
No, and this is the whole premise, and I know he's not going to get a look, but the whole premise behind me bringing up John Gruden is because I said no one else is going to want the job. And maybe you can get a guy who's absolutely desperate to get back in,
right,
who's got all the qualities you want.
And if he turned it around here... It would be monumental.
Yes. So does that answer your question?
It has to be a very unique situation, and I would say John Gruden might be the one, maybe two names that would check that box.
Well, I think Flores, too.
Yeah.
At least
he's still working in the league.
Yeah, but right.
About Flores, he's from Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, he's from here.
I mean, and if you look at Matt Nagy's resume... I mean, it's really not that bad.
I would have had no issue with Matt Nagy.
Right. So, I mean, those are guys right there that are more realistic, apparently, than Gruden. And I also would have talked to Mike McCarthy. I mean, I just, that guy, and maybe it doesn't work out for 10 years, but it's from a stability factor, and this is how we do it to win games in the NFL. The fact that they don't even talk to him, it's insane.
I will say this, because of all the one-score games that the Jets lost, that goes to tell you and goes to show you just how important that fourth quarter is and the last 5 minutes of every game. I'm telling you, from, you know, using timeouts to understanding, you know, how to run a game at that point, I hope that, you know, Aaron's proficient in that. I don't know if he is or isn't, but if he's not, then I hope he has people around him that will get him through that part of the game. Because I'm just telling you, it's the most important part of the actual game itself is to make sure. And you know, when he got to the Jets, Pete Carroll was our coach, and Pete Carroll used to just drill in our heads in practice, if he remembers, so much about situational football. At the end of every practice was a totally different situation that we had to go through the mental gymnastics with. And it's one of the reasons why Pete went on to become such a successful head coach, is because that's where his bread was buttered, so to speak. End of game, winning the game at the end, understanding timeouts. That is a big part of what a head coach has to do on a Sunday. And I know this is going to be Aaron's first foray into this, and that's the thing that I worry about.
Nut cutting time, as you like to say.
Yeah, where the rubber meets the road, where the metal meets the meat.
All right, meantime, right. The other hotshot Lions coordinator, Ben Johnson, ends up in Chicago with Caleb Williams. After all, he'll be the next head coach of the Bears, and thus remaining in the NFC North. And then some stuff from Adam Schefter here of ESPN. He's already working on his staff. Sounds like Dennis Allen could be the leading candidate to be the defensive coordinator. And they're apparently also heavily pursuing Saints interim coach Darren Rizzi to be their special teams coordinator. So those are some names that you're talking about with Ben Johnson.
So basically, they're taking all the coaches from the Saints who had a crappy year.
Yeah.
Well, to go back to being coordinators, but yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you had to like a little bit of what Darren Rizzi did as the interim, no?
I give him credit for it. Yeah, he got a little, they got a bump out of him. There's no question
energy,
about it.
Some energy, right?
Yep.
Yeah.
They all lose right. Like 34-0 to Green Bay.
Oh, that's one
yeah,
game.
Towards the end there.
Oh, that's
when
one
he game. First started, when he first, I think they won two in a row. Didn't they win two in a row when they
right.
first started?
Sounds okay. Right. So,
local Jersey guy.
Yeah, man. Love that.
Yeah. Let's go to Atlanta now. Last night's national title game. So Notre Dame takes the opening possession, 18 plays, 75 yards into the end zone. But Ohio State came right back with a 75-yard touchdown drive of their own. That Jeremiah Smith doing it again, taking it in from 8 yards out on a cool play design from Chip Kelly. Buckeyes end up with a 31-7 lead in the second half. But the Fighting Irish did make a game out of it, drawing within 8 with about 4 minutes to go. But another big play from the freshman Smith sealed the deal.
Out of the gun. Howard, a Notre Dame blitz, a deep throw, near side, Jeremiah Smith has it inside the 30 and taken down by Christian Gray at the 9-yard line.
John McDonough on ESPN Radio set up a short field goal to extend the lead and put it out of reach. Ohio State 34, Notre Dame 23, as Smith ended up with 5 catches for 88 yards and the score. Will Howard and Riley Leonard, the respective quarterbacks, both threw for over 230 yards, 2 scores apiece. But it was Ryan Day's Buckeyes winning the night not that long after that loss to Michigan, and some questions about Day's job status moving forward.
The story gets to get told now, and it's a great story about a bunch of guys who have just overcome some really tough situations. And there's a point where there's a lot of people that counted us out, and we just kept swinging and kept fighting. It's the reason why you get into coaching.
You saw the video, I'm sure, of them in the golf cart after the game.
Yes.
And the fouls and the gal
almost crashed it.
Crashing.
I just remember, what was the big story, Eddie, at the beginning of the college football season about Ohio State?
The payroll.
That's exactly right. And the payroll came through.
Payroll like for us,
over
players
20,
or coaches?
Over $20 million was spent on players for Ohio State.
NIL action?
Yeah. And it was a big story. And that's why losing to Michigan was such a big deal after Michigan had won the national championship the year before. And you figured this year, without Harbaugh and with all those players that were lost, that this was going to be the year that Ohio State was going to be Michigan. And they didn't do it. And then, you know, obviously I was happy for Ryan Day, because sometimes college football fans can be completely unrealistic. And, you know, he came back and had the best team. There's no question about it. Those wide receivers they're going to be, I think, 3 number one draft picks on that team.
Without a doubt. Yep.
And Jeremiah Smith being the best one.
Yeah, I mean, I've never seen a guy that young be that intimidating, that fast, that big. I've never seen anything like it, quite honestly.
2 years from now, top 5 pick, if not the first overall pick, depending on what the team picking needs. But I would not pass on him. That'd be like the Giants passing on Malik Nabers. You can't pass on this kid.